Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. I love it when you take the time to listen to our show. Of course, it is Wednesday, which means it's time for more of your listener questions. How about a question about Princess Half Marathon Weekend? We have a listener and her daughter heading down for their very first in-person Run Disney event. Should they stay in a royal room at Riverside? I say yes, but hear our discussion. We also talk about when it makes sense to drive to the Magic Kingdom. Not very often, but there are cases where you might want to drive to the Magic Kingdom. How about getting an annual pass if you're an out-of-state non-DVC member or going on a Disney cruise? They can be about the same price in some circumstances. This and much more coming your way on today's show. Don't forget today's podcast brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Let us help you plan your next Disney getaway. It's the best way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great free trip planning tools right there. And while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote form. Mention the show and I'll be planning that trip with you right away. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. One extra click does mean a lot to us, so please use that link as often as you can. And thank you to our patrons. You allow us to put this show out 4 times a week all around the world. We could not do it without your patronage over on the site. And our patrons get a 5th show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1961 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you, and I guess, even though it's not technically fall, happy fall. I know, fashion faux pas. I got on the white hat. I just realized that right now. My bad. I'll switch it out for next week's shows, I promise you. But I mean, let's face it. I'm a fashion faux pas walking just about 7 days a week. So anyway, it's why we do podcasts. And back in the day when we started our podcast, video was not a thing. And for me, that was very beneficial. This whole newfangled where you got to see everybody. Yeah, not good for this 6'3" guy. Anyway, we're here to answer your listener questions. And I'm so excited that we have the entire crew back together for the first time in just a bit. And joining me today from down in Atlanta, Georgia, where the dogs are 1-0, much to the chagrin of our captain of our running squad, but it'll be okay. Just it's first week. You'll be fine. What's up, Ricky? She's from themouseforless.com.
You said a lot of things.
I did.
That just went.
Okay, so yeah, I got to say, I was listening to the Clemson-Georgia game on the way home from the Mizzou game Saturday night.
I didn't know that
okay.
They won the game, so, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, it was brutal offensive game, pretty good defensive game. But anyway, I'm not talking about that. But here's the thing. There's this commercial they play during Georgia football radio broadcast like every break. And it's for some kind of roofing company. And okay. So the greatest thing ever, I got to find this commercial. This guy's, you know, pimping out his roofs that you got to buy. Like who cares? Like who shops for a roof? Like your roof breaks, you go call somebody to put a new roof on your house. You hope you never have to do that, right? No, this guy's like telling everybody to get the roof. And the thing is how like his tagline is, because, you know, it's Georgia Bulldogs, right? The radio network. Right. He's like, get your new roof, 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 roof.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, if I needed a roof, I'd call that guy. Like, if I was a Dogs fan, that was awesome. Yeah, so.
I don't know. Look, as far as roofs are concerned, I know that my neighborhood is, like, everybody's putting in a new roof. So, like, I guess it's important to me. So, but there are a lot of roofing ads here in Georgia, I will admit. So, I see them on TV all the time, so. I don't know. Maybe just because of our weather and stuff like that, we need new rooms more than.
Yeah, you have storms.
Yeah,
storm
yeah.
Season.
Hey, that's how I got my new roof. It was Hurricane Irma, was how I got my new roof. So it damaged mine. So I mean, hey.
I think that's how it is everywhere, right? You wait for a hailstorm and then the insurance comes out and you get a new roof. I mean, that's how we've always gotten
exactly.
Our new roof.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've actually been impacted more by hurricanes, tropical storms, and depressions than my family in Orlando. So, who knew?
less so here on the hurricanes, but weird. More big hail. That's typically how it works in the
Midwest. Yeah. So, anyway. But, yeah. Oh, just to kind of go with that, our thoughts are with everybody in Louisiana, by the way.
Absolutely. Yes. And the Northeast. Stuff, the Northeast got hit hard by all the flooding, too.
So, yes, I mean, the Northeast got hit really hard, too.
Sure. Yeah.
So many folks and having all kinds of trouble. Always thinking of you. We got friends, so we checked in. Everybody that I know has been safe, even though some people had some damage. Important thing is everybody is safe, so we're glad to hear that. All right. Yeah. Also joining us at the corner of the Magic for Less Travel, freshly returned from a 9-month vacation to Walt Disney World, Pam Forrester. She forgot where she lived when she got back in the Keystone State. What's up, Pam?
Oh, yeah.
I know it seems that way sometimes, but yes. And I just want to thank so many of our listeners came up to me while I was there, even in the airport. It was so funny. And it's just so nice. We have the best listeners. It's so nice when you take the time and everyone's like, I didn't want to bother you. And I'm like, please bother me. It is very nice of you to take time out of your day to listen to us. We so appreciate the support. And it's so great to get to meet so many people. I am not the selfie king like Mike is. I never remember to take a photo. Or right. Barely remember to take a photo of us. But I do appreciate it nonetheless. And it was great getting to meet so many of our listeners. And it was just overall a great trip. It's weird. These trips lately have just felt so good. And I don't know if you just want an escape from like your regular life, right? Is it that? Or is it just there were no crowds really at all? It was so empty. That's incredible. Of course, we don't have FastPass right now, so that's interesting. Just the whole thing. So lots of good stuff going on down there.
I'm so jealous of folks that have been to Walt Disney World over the last, like, 10 days.
I know, right? Yeah.
There's nobody there. Like it's picked up by now.
Seeing the empty parks and, not, you know, nobody there. It's just like, wow.
I know.
Crazy awesome. And it also is. I'm regretting that I didn't have a trip planned for this.
I know. Yeah. Seriously, one of the days we were there, it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The wait for somewhere in 10 minutes.
No, stop. Okay.
It was 10 minutes and it wasn't even 10 minutes. We walked right on. I mean, just right after opening, we went to Slinky Dog. I just, crazy is all I have to say.
So Friday, just so you have a little heads up, I'm going to ask you like just one or two highlights from the trip, something that stood out, because every trip's kind of got like the moment that, oh, this was cool, this happened for the first time, or this is something I haven't done in a while. So we'll hold that on Friday because we got a lot of questions to get to today. So let us start off. Thomas Hildebrand in our live chat. We always record live on Facebook and YouTube, usually on Mondays around 5:45 Eastern. So please join us next week. He says, if we have a multifamily trip coming up and we both want Memory Maker, should we get one for both families or buy our own? Thanks, y'all. I like when people say y'all. That's awesome. No, so what you can do with that, as long as everybody is connected via friends and family on My Disney Experience, you'll all be able to see everybody's pictures without the watermarks. Basically, what happens is even if you don't have Memory Maker, you will see your photos. They'll be watermarked. But if a friend or family person connected via My Disney Experience has Memory Maker, you're good. So I see all of Ricky's pictures because we're friends, at least on Memory Maker. No, we're friends.
I see so many people's pictures when I go through. I'm like, oh, they went down. Oh, they went down. Yeah, I see so many people's pictures because we're all connected.
Ricky's doing senior pictures in a Spaceship Earth through us again. Why do you know she's there? You know, it's usually how this conversation goes. You have a new photo. No, I don't. I'm laying in bed. Anyway. Kenzie in the live chat, she says, I'm leaving for my first Walt Disney World trip since 2014 at 1 a.m. in the morning tomorrow, and I can't wait.
Go to bed, Kenzie. Yeah, go to bed.
Well, you
go
can't sleep, right? I'm too excited to sleep.
Yeah, I'm too excited.
She says, me and my husband had a baby in 2020, so this is our belated baby moon. Pam, give them... We're the parents on the panel here. One piece of advice: they're taking a baby, so I guess the baby is, I'm guessing, you know, under a year, obviously.
Well, if they're
I'm doing quick math, right? Right, it was born in 2020, it's September 2021, I doubt the kid's 14, so there you go. So give them some advice, like how can they have a great trip with the baby?
If you're taking the baby, the best piece of advice I will give you is try to keep everyone on the same schedule. Try to keep everyone on the baby's schedule. So if you usually get up at a certain time, continue to do that. If you usually eat at certain times, continue to do that. If there's a nap, give it a shot. Try to make it happen. I know that the nap is probably one of the more challenging things to keep constant when you're not at home. But I think at the same time, one of the very important things, and that goes for the parents too, you're overstimulated, you're doing a lot of walking, things like that. So the nap may come in handy for that too. But that's definitely it. And the other thing is, don't let the things that the baby eats go too far right or left of what the baby usually eats, because all those are things that contribute to a baby who's not very happy.
So. And an adult. I mean, I got to eat too. And actually, she has a question follow-up about eating. She says, my question is, though, I've heard that you have to order a lot of your food on your phone. Should I do that as soon as I enter the park for lunch? Or can I do it when I'm ready to eat? So, Ricky, how do you go about that? Because I've kind of changed over the last year my philosophy on that. I order early, have it all ready to go. Then when I'm ready to eat, I hit. You know, I find that window that's close. I can modify it if I need to.
True. You know, I've noticed that especially during busier times like lunch times or dinner times, on the app, sometimes there is some delay. So you may want to just start thinking about it, you know, maybe an hour or so ahead of time and be like, okay, let's order food now and get it ready. And then, you know, while you're waiting in line or something like that, that way it's all ready to go. The place that I noticed that it's like the most difficult to order food is at night at your hotel. So if you're wanting a snack or something like that late at night and, you know, you've gotten back to your hotel and you're like, oh, I could really go for a Mickey bar. That's when it's really difficult because, you know, normally you just run down, grab the Mickey bar and go back to your room. Well, now you have to order in the app, and because everybody else is ordering in the app, you know, dinner or, you know, a snack or whatever, it's definitely taking longer at that time period. That's the part where I really have noticed it. It's during heavy peak meal times and then at night at your hotel. So I would just kind of think about it ahead of time in those instances for sure.
I agree with all that totally, because that is kind of the problem. Like if you get to where the food court closes at your hotel, you are suffering to find something to eat like after 10. It can be a challenge. That happened to us this summer. But I will say for lunch, I would go ahead and put it in, put your order in right away and then select that time that's as close to your pickup time that you think you're going to eat. And then as you get within, say, 40 minutes, 30 minutes, half hour, you know, the time you want to eat, if you're not going to make it because you're in a longer line, you can go in there and modify your pickup time, push it back 20 minutes or so. I mean, I did that many times this summer. So, Pam, any thoughts on that? I just like to have it all ready to go.
It does. Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, in most cases, you're going to be able to pick a time that's relatively soon. But during busier times, it's absolutely great to have it in before. And remember, your order is fully refundable up until that point in time when you click, I'm here, please prepare my order or whatever. So that's something. And I will give you a little tip for those times at night when you're wishing that you had purchased something from the food court, but the line, you know, or the wait is a long period of time. First of all, check at the gift shop, because they have lots of snacks there. They have some chips, right. They
coolers,
have some cookies,
Mickey bars and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can check that out. And I think some of them actually have a cooler in the gift shop portion of the gift shop. It's escaping me which ones they are right now. But like definitely when you're at the vacation club resorts, there's that whole freezer section that's going to be in the gift shop. And that's where you can stop and get like a whole host of things, including Mickey bars and some other stuff like that, but definitely drinks and things like that. So that's your hack for when it's late at night and you're hungry.
And my place to go at Coronado Springs, Panchitos, that cooler's in the very back of the gift shop, very, very back corner.
Yes.
But it'll bail you out when El Mercado's closed.
If you
need something sweet. Because the thing is, I always say this about Coronado. Like when you walk down that corridor, you know, towards El Mercado from the, you know, the going over towards the tower now where the check-in used to be, they put those goodies right there on the, like, on that little corner with like cupcakes and, you know, all these sweets. You're like, oh, and sometimes it's closed. You're like, False. That's a foul. Like, don't do that to me. If I can't get a sweet, then I was going to Panchito's and get a Mickey ice cream sandwich, and the world's good again. So, I mean,
you're like, I need something sweet. Oh my gosh, everything's closed. Okay, I'll get a margarita.
Right, there you go.
Cafe works. Okay, Scott's got a question. I don't know if he's this is Scott Wortman, not Scott Gardner. Not sure if he's serious about this, but he's asking. Pay for an out-of-state annual pass or a Disney cruise, because you know what? I'll be honest. You could probably do a 3-night cruise for the price of an annual pass, maybe even a 4-night annual cruise during certain times
fall?
Of the year. Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably for, you know, for the price of an annual pass for sure. I'm talking without memory maker, people. So, I mean, Pam, there's no right answer to this. It's what you want. Yeah. I mean, the annual pass is giving you that's the marathon, right? The Disney cruise is like the sprint. You know, it's like intense fun for 3 days. It's awesome. But then you got the marathon of 365 days at annual pass. What do you think for that?
It is. And just like last year, actually, even, you know, before the pandemic, the last time where annual passes really saw, you know, a release in price and we came up with these different categories, it used to be, right, if you were going 7 or 8 days, the annual pass was worth it. Well, now that's really extending. You're going to need to be using that annual pass probably more like 2.5-3 weeks, right, for you to reach that sort of break-even point. And that means going into the park every day. It doesn't mean like 2 7-day vacations or things like that. So that's really something I think that people are considering. So if you didn't usually buy an annual pass, chances are an annual pass is not going to be the best thing for you now. But right now, when you're comparing the price of an annual pass or a Disney cruise, I think you do have to look at those factors, right? Are you going to be back in the next 365 days? Is this, you know, something that is important to you, right? I know a lot of people buy an annual pass and then, you know, plan on coming down for 2 or 3 other vacations. Other people are more casual in their attendance. If I'm comparing a Walt Disney World cruise and a Disney or a Walt Disney World vacation and a Disney cruise, here are some things I really want to think of. First of all, that Disney cruise is going to be more relaxing. And if that's what you're looking for in a vacation, then the cruise is the way to go. A Walt Disney World vacation, magical, awesome, all these different things. Probably not in the list of things that you're looking at, right? Unless you're really planning not to go into the park certain days or really take it easy, which is hard. Once you're there, ask Mike. All caution to the wind.
Yeah, boom.
He's like, I'm going to take it easier this time. Does he?
Still
no.
Never have. Nope.
So,
nope, never have.
Anyways, that's what you're really looking for is those things. And the other thing to really take into consideration is a Disney cruise is also going to include your food. Where the price of an annual pass does not. So it's actually more price inclusive.
That is true. So let's get to the next question about annual passes. Ricky, how about this one for you? If we still have an active annual pass, the old version, which I have, do we still keep all those old perks or does it move over to one of the new APs? Talk about that for Brian.
So the switchover happened actually today, the 8th. So what's going to happen is if you have a current annual pass, you will still have all the benefits of that current annual pass until your pass expires. When this will change is when it expires, then you'll have to go you'll have the perks of the new pass. The only thing that is included in the old pass is the addition of extra park pass reservation days that you're going to be able to get. So like for me, I have the Premier Pass. So I will right now, I only have 3 days of, as we're recording this, I only have 3 days of reservations that I can make. On Wednesday, when this comes out, I'll have 5 days of reservations that I can make. So that's the only change that's really happening as far as my pass is concerned. I still have the Premier Pass until I'm ready to renew it. So
makes
that's
sense.
Kind of the...
Yeah, so you're grandfathered into your old pass just until
Correct.
It expires, till you renew. Then everybody... So 365
yes.
days from today, when the show comes out, September 8th, everybody will be on one
it
of the four cool
be.
Named passes.
There's a little bit of confusion right now as of this recording as far as people who have bought the vouchers or have renewed.
That's true.
But, you know, so may not necessarily be the case. I have heard that it will still roll over, which is kind of what I'm looking for at with Brian right now, renewing his pass. And it's supposed to, his pass actually expires in October. But I think if I purchase the renewal right now, I can still get that Premier Pass. Again, this will all be null and void on Wednesday when this comes out, but yeah, that's what's going through my head right now. So.
See, I would not, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. And I'll be honest, because travel agents, we don't sell annual passes. So I don't know that ticket media as much as I know Magic Your Way tickets. That's what we do. But I would, I would guess though, that if you have a voucher at this point after September 8th or once September 8th hits, I doubt you could get that old annual pass. I mean, if I was
I'm not entirely sure how it's going to work. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the next question. I think, what do you think, Pam? I mean, do you think?
I think you would move into.
Yeah.
Yeah, move into one of the other passes that they will say, you know, right now, now you have one of these passes or whatnot. Actually, you know, they were like called the kind of the same thing. So.
Incredipass. I'm learning that because that's the only one. I'm from Missouri and I'm not DVC. I have a lot of one choice. Yeah, it's Incredipass or nothing for me, buddy. That's how it's going to be. Okay, Bob in our live chat says, hello, gang. I have a trip coming up in spring of 2022 and we're going to Epcot and Hollywood Studios one day each. We have not been to the world since 2019 and, of course, we want to get on Rise of the Resistance. I have one park reservation for Epcot and one for the studios. I'm considering changing the Epcot reservation to a studios to double my chances at Rise. If I get Rise the first day, I would switch the second day back to Epcot. If we don't get Rise the first day, then we would have to switch. Then we would have to switch that first day to Epcot. Good plan. Of course, if Cosmic Rewind drops before spring break 2022, that will change everything. Okay, so what he's saying is he's going to have, basically, I think this is it. He's going to have the studios for the first day. So say they don't get a Rise reservation for the studios the first day. I think he wants to jump quickly over to Epcot that day and keep the second day as a studios day. Basically, go in with two studios days as a backup. Is that doable, Ricky? I mean, can the system work out that way? It's, say, 7:10. He knows he doesn't have it. Epcot is the park that'll have the theme park reservations the longest, typically. So that's good.
Right.
So I guess you could go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I know a lot of people have been doing that, where if they don't get their Rise boarding pass reservation, they will switch to another park and just go that route. So that sounds like a good plan if that's what you would like to do. Go that route. You can always also try the 1 o'clock drop too. You may get it, you know, then. I've gotten it a few times at the 1 o'clock drop that when I haven't gotten it at the seven. So, you know, you never know which way, will work, but, if that's what you want to do and you want to switch it, as if you don't make it, you know, I would switch it to Epcot and I would keep two, Hollywood Studios reservations at that point.
And here's the thing I learned this summer is don't put an ADR on your studios days that you're like really committed to, in case you got to use the 1 o'clock drop and say you get it, but then you're not going to get on until say six, you know, like if you go, because the thing is, we got one at a 1 o'clock drop, but it wasn't going to happen until like six or seven. And we had a Maria and Enzo's ADR at Disney Springs with a bunch of people. So didn't do us any good to get it. So just I would
unless your ADR is in the studio.
Yeah, if you're in the studios, yeah, but don't plan on being somewhere else. So that'd be good. Yeah, it's good thought there. Okay, Lynn Wilcox, one of my great buddies and guests over at the Magic for Less Travel, he asks, are food and wine booths still walk up or do you need mobile ordering for them too? Pam, so you were just in Epcot. How were the things at the food and wine booths?
The food and wine booths are really good this year. There are just some really standout booths, and you do not mobile order to go to them. You can just walk up like you could before and do the mobile ordering. I will tell you, the little area by Test Track has sort of a pod of really good food and wine booths. There's the macaroni and cheese booth, the lobster booth, the smokehouse booth. No, not smokehouse, but it's smoky
flavors from fire.
There you go.
Fire.
The donut one. It's all right there, right by Test Track. Plus, you have the Odyssey right there where you can get beer and pizza and wings to top it off, too. So, I mean, you're right there, that little pod. But really, just some standout food, I think, this year at Food & Wine. And it's so interesting how Disney has sort of changed Food & Wine, expanded it, made it open to more people, and created some little seating areas at different points that I think is a really great move too. So lots of good stuff going on at Food & Wine this year.
You are gonna have fun, Len. October is next month. So I remember Len and I have been planning a trip forever. And like it's crazy because these October trips are now just weeks away. You know, and it was
this has been a long
wait for him and his family, so I'm excited for the crew there. It's going down. All right, Sean Miranda has a question. We have a November let me hit this. We have a November Sunday night reservation at Topolino's after a long day at Food & Wine. Can we use the reservation for only drinks and apps or dessert? Or do we have to order a full dinner? Pam, I haven't been to Topolino's. What's the advice here?
It is a full service restaurant. There's no rule against only ordering that. I think right now the restaurants are not at capacity, especially at Topolino's. It is not at capacity at this point. There's still a lot of distancing going on, and I felt like some tables were removed definitely when we were there. So you can do that. There's also a bar area, so maybe that's something that you're going to want to advise the hostess when you arrive, that you're only interested in having drinks or drinks and apps, or you're only interested in having drinks and desserts, things like that. Maybe they'll seat you in the bar area.
That's a good tip. That's what I would do if it was me, just because it's more casual. But yeah, I mean, I bet you people do this all the time. I mean, I wouldn't really worry about it too much. Kevin has a question. Ricky, we talked about this with Dr. Kai on Twitter earlier this week. Will the Lightning Lane be used for both Genie Plus and paid attractions? For example, Flight of Passage. Sorry, all the abbreviations got me there. So that lane that is, and you've seen the signage go up, right? Especially around Epcot. Now, I mean, it's kind of scary when you see Lightning Lane at Living with the Land. That just proves it's the best attraction at Walt Disney World.
Correct.
So who goes in? Is Lightning Lane only? Well, it can't be, right? Because, I mean, is Living with the Land going to have a Lightning Lane?
Yes.
Is it? I mean, I know it's awesome, but is somebody paying $34 a person to go see watermelons? I mean, come on.
No.
Now, what are we doing?
Okay. So I think we had some confusion between us last time we talked about this, because you got me confused, because you said the Lightning Lane was the lane of the individual paid attractions. It is not. The Lightning Lane is going to be for both Genie Plus and the individual attraction access. So yes, Living with the Land will have a Lightning Lane, because Living with the Land will be one of the attractions as part of Genie Plus.
Right.
Yes, it will not be an individual attraction access attraction. There's only going to be 2 to 3 of those attractions in each park. That's not going to be one of them. At Epcot, it'll probably be, well, we know it's going to be Romy's Ratatouille Adventure. And then it'll probably be Frozen or Soarin' or Test Track or one of those attractions. So those will be the 2 to 3 light or individual attraction access attractions. So those will have Lightning Lanes as well. So the Lightning Lane, just think of it this way. The Lightning Lane is the old Fast Pass Lane. That's all it is. It's just been renamed. Instead of Fast Pass Lane,
okay.
I get what you're saying.
I get what you're saying, but that is so confusing. Like, that is...
Why is that confusing?
Here's the thing, though. Because, I mean, they're calling Lightning Lane... Is that not the term for the like the flexible priced? Is that not what they're called? What's that called? Okay, because now you're getting me confused.
It's just individual attraction access. It's not. It doesn't have a name.
Okay, everybody's been talking about Lightning Lane being the two headliners that you pay the $17 to ride. That's not called Lightning Lane.
No, the Lightning Lane is the Fast Pass Plus Lane.
The thing that I think is confusing is that a ride is not going to have individual attraction access and
Genie Plus
and the other. It's going to be one or the other.
Correct.
If you're paying to have the individual attraction access, it is not going to be available to everyone
Correct.
To use that access. I mean, because otherwise, why would you pay for the individual attraction access, right?
Right.
Unless, you know, so that's going to be limited. So basically, those attractions are going to be either standby line or you're going to pay for the individual attraction. The other attraction, you're also going to have the option to use the whatever, you know, that access that is included as part of your Genie Plus, or you can do the standby line as well. So you're either going to do standby and the individual paid attraction for those that are available for that.
Correct.
Or standby.
Or standby and or Genie Plus.
Yes. Okay, so let's give an example, a couple examples here, just to make things clear as mud, because that's what we're doing here today. Okay, so Rise of the Resistance, for example, so they're going to have the individual we're guessing where you can pay for access, variable pricing depending on all the factors, or now this one you won't have a standby. It's probably the virtual queue. Right? Okay, so that's how that would work.
And the individual attraction access will enter the Lightning Lane.
Okay. Okay, entrance. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so like Living with the Land, however, will not have the variable pricing option available. You'll have standby or you'll have Genie Plus.
Correct.
Right. The Genie Plus people will be in the Lightning Lane.
Yes.
Ka-chow.
You will enter.
All right.
You'll enter.
God,
you'll enter
confusing.
Through the Lightning Lane. It's not that confusing, but I can understand the confusion because we've had different terminology for everything.
Yeah. And Disney is always coming up with new terminology, right?
Exactly.
I mean, first of all, every time we get an event now, it has a different name.
Of course, yes. It's got a really long name. It's
right?
It's
yes.
Short. Yes.
Right. It's crazy. We're always learning a new Disney term. And then, of course, as you type it on the internet, it gets an acronym.
Yes.
So then you have to learn that as well. So how much of our brain is being used up by either Disney words
too
or
much.
Disney acronyms?
Too much. Yeah, I know too many things that are really, in the grand scheme of things, never going to help me survive in the real world. I
mean, right? Yes.
It's just how it is. So, okay, important here. Okay, so let's take another example. Impressions de France, one of the best attractions at Epcot. That will have a standby or a Genie Plus.
No.
Lightning Lane.
It won't, because Impressions de France?
Yeah.
No, that won't have. It doesn't have a fast pass lane now.
Why would they add that?
It's just standby. That was
a trick question.
Yeah, don't screw people up like that. That's just standby. Stop that.
Trick question.
It did have a fast pass line for a little bit though,
did it?
Or something.
It should.
There was a there was.
I think it was just people leaving the attraction because they thought they were going to see the Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, that's right. This summer here,
they're like, it's not Impressions de France, it's the Beauty and the Beast show.
Everybody's like, I thought that was the Be Our Guest podcast in there. Oh, just a sing along. Forget that. We're out of here. I thought it was Mike, Pam, and Ricky, and an occasional Scott.
Not that.
No, it wasn't. But I will say, here's the thing: this summer, man, I kept wanting to see Impressions of France because I love the music. I just love that it's nostalgic. I love seeing it. That sign outside that changes just kept saying "Beauty and the Beast sing along," "Beauty and the Beast sing along," and I kept telling Pam, "I'm like, we walked by here like 3 or 4 times. Like, it's always the Beauty and the Beast sing along. It's supposed to alternate." We went up. They're like, "We forgot to change the sign. It's Impressions of France." I'm like, "What?
No!
I walked past you 3 times today.
You had one job.
No, hit the button.
What else are you doing?"
I was
doing?
So fired up. But I was glad I got to see Impressions of France. But I'm like, hit the button. It's false every day. Anyway,
goodness.
Let's get to a question from the inbox, because that was just clear as mud. So let's see how we confuse people again. This is from my good guest, Betsy, over at the Magic for Less Travel. She says, Princess Weekend Resort question. Hey, BOGP crew. So I finally did it and signed up for Princess 5K. The 10K was sold out for myself and my daughter. She's been asking for 2 years to do this for her 10th birthday, which is in February. So how can I say no? Along with her big birthday, I'm also having a big birthday in January. So I wanted this to be a fun girl's birthday weekend. I'm trying to decide which resort to stay in. We love Grand Casino Tower, but I've never stayed at Port Orleans Resort. So I was thinking, since it's Princess Race weekend, I should go with a princess room. I don't know how much longer she will be all about the princesses, but I know my time is running out for that. Is there a resort that makes it easier on a race weekend? Should I go with an Epcot resort? We love all of them, so we are open to what's best or easiest. This is our first race weekend, so we can't wait. Hoping to meet up with some of the lizards. Thanks so much. Have a great week. Betsy. Yes, do meet the lizards before all the races. We meet buy the L bag check. Look for the bright greenish, you know, what a lizard colored shirts. You can't miss us. And we all say hi. Then we walk to the cross together. So it'll be fun. We are, spoiler alert, we're talking about French Quarter in Riverside doing a resort review on Friday's podcast. So stay tuned for that because they're reopening very soon to get you in the mood for that. So I do run a lot of the races. I would say that it used to be you had to think about it because this, again, God, I feel so old doing all this stuff. I got the lightning lanes making me feel like I'm like 90 because I'm like, back in the day, we didn't have a lightning lane. We just had Fast Pass and we were happy. And we didn't have Fast Pass, actually. We had paper Fast Passes. We had them on a chisel. With tablets. Our tablets came with a rock and a chisel. Anyway, back in the day, you had to be careful because not all the Walt Disney resorts had resort transportation. Seriously, I'm that old. Like, if you stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge...
You are not wrong.
No, one time I stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge, it was not a host resort. I had to take a cab. I'd never been in a cab in my life. And the cab driver, I told him, like, dude, the race started at Wide World of Sports. I told the cab driver, I'm like, I'm going to miss the start. And I paid all this money for this race. Cab driver literally went up on the sidewalk and dropped me off.
Nicely done.
Dude, I felt like I was in like the amazing race. It was amazing. Anyway, right now, all the resorts are host resorts. You don't have to worry about that. The Riverside and French Quarter work out great for race weekends. You're very close to Epcot. A lot of people say, oh, I want to be in an Epcot area resort. Let's say like a beach, a yacht, or a boardwalk. For a race weekend, here's the thing you got to consider now that you didn't have to consider before the races ended because of COVID in this post-COVID era. Now with theme park reservations, this is something that's very, very tricky. Say I was staying at Boardwalk and I finished the marathon in the parking lot for Epcot.
Yes.
As an annual pass holder, I would just walk through Epcot back to my room. Now I got to have a theme park reservation to get into Epcot to walk back to my room. Mm-hmm. That's another little wiggle in the thing you got to think about this time. So I would say just pick the resort. And I like the idea of the princess room, princess weekend. That's a lot of fun. Pam, thoughts? Or Ricky, anything else? I like that.
No, I think that's perfect.
Yeah, I agree. I think those rooms are so cute. Really and truly. I mean, I remember the first few times that I stayed in. Okay, probably every time I've stayed in the princess room. The button that set the fireworks off on the headboard, it was liberally used, yes, I will say. And when I was there, I was, you know, it's just very, very cool. How often do you get that? So, yeah, I think so, too. And if your daughter's into princesses, take advantage of it, for sure.
Yes.
Dig a little deeper. That's all I got to say, Ricky. Any other thoughts? It's Tiana.
It'll be part of your world. I'm just saying. Yeah. I know it's not... You know,
what rooms are you staying in? They're Tiana themed. I'm like, dude, you're an art of animation. Like, she didn't bring up art of animation. Yeah, Lord. You got
exactly.
I was going the Disney princess theme, not the Princess Tiana theme.
So confused. Okay. Another
Princess
question.
Tiana's like, hey.
Yeah.
I do love
those myself. Are my rooms.
I do love myself some Princess Tiana, though. So I'm not going to lie.
Princess Tiana princess said Tiana. You were almost there. Just saying.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
I just know that because we played a lot of Disney music trivia on the cruise a couple of weeks ago. That's good. It keeps you going. That's how you kind of remember your songs. Okay, last question of the day. It is from the inbox. It is from Andrea. She says, hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, longtime listener and just love the podcast. You make my long walks so enjoyable and get me so excited for my next trip. So thank you for all you do. Thank you, Andrea. Yay. We appreciate that. We're glad you're listening.
Yay.
I have a few questions that I'm hoping you can help me figure out the best transportation strategies for the Magic Kingdom. We, my best friend, 17-year-old son, and 14-year-old daughter are headed to the world the last week of October for my friends and mine 50th birthdays. And to celebrate those momentous occasions during Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, it's a bucket list trip for us in a lot of ways. We're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I have reservations to rent a car. Here are my questions for our Magic Kingdom days during the time that we're there. 1, we have Boobash tickets for Halloween night. How cool is that?
Nice.
Oh, go you.
What mode of transportation do you think is best from the Animal Kingdom Lodge to the Magic Kingdom for Boobash? While we have the car, I understand parking at the TTC and getting to the Magic Kingdom can be time consuming, but don't know if the Animal Kingdom Lodge buses would be worse. I say take the bus every time, but Pam, you rent a car every time. So now do you concur with this?
No, I 100% do. Magic Kingdom is absolutely the place where you're going to want to use Disney transportation.
Yes.
It just is. When you park at the TTC, I just would, I will tell you, Disney at the end of park closing is so good about getting buses through there. Like, we had mentioned this on a previous podcast, just like in the morning, although the line seems to be very, very long when you walk out first thing in the morning to go, Disney is so good at having a number of buses show up and get you to the parks. And they do exactly the same thing when the parks close at night.
Right.
So I think you're going to be good. The other thing about, I will say, the parties is that people are not all leaving at the same time. So that's something to consider, that there's going to, you know, there's not maybe going to be a huge crowd when you decide to leave. So,
well, in general, with the hard ticket events, you don't have as many people leaving anyway, because it's not
sure,
like a
100%.
Typical, you know, 9 o'clock close or something. Okay. And
also,
I
was going to throw in the Magic Kingdom parking, because I have to do it quite frequently driving myself. Right now, obviously, since there are no trams, you have to walk to, you know, the TTC. So from the parking lot, which can be quite a hike right now. So just keep that in mind. Depending on where you're parking, it can definitely be a hike. Then you have to get the transportation to the Magic Kingdom. So I would absolutely do the bus as well. You know, if I could do the bus from my apartment down there, I would, but I cannot. So, yeah, I would 100% do the bus, because it's just, it is kind of a very long trek. And especially at the end of the night when you're just tired and ready to leave. And I'm just like, oh, it's so far to get to my car. So I would 100% take the bus.
But
it is. You don't even feel like driving, actually. I think that's one of, at night, like, the buses are sort of like a blessing in that if you're tired and you've been there all day, you're like, oh my gosh, I can just get on the bus and sit down. I don't have to drive. I don't have to think about it.
Yes.
I'm just there and can veg out until they deposit me at my resort hotel.
And I think the Animal Kingdom Lodge bus has a killer background loop they play on your way home late at night when it kind of puts, now Riverside's is the best. It's like crickets. It's like nature sound. So you're just like,
oh, that's cool.
That's what I use on like my Amazon device every night before I go to bed. Like those kind of sounds, like, you know, like a rainforest or something, and puts me out. So yeah, but I think it has that too. So there you go. Turn off the lights, a little background music, you're out. And now, okay, our last question. On our departure day, we're going to the Magic Kingdom. We plan to rope drop anything we didn't see at Boo Bash or during the extended hours the first night we arrive. We'll be taking the car from Epcot over. However, we should leave the park around noon to head to the airport to give us sufficient time to return the car and deal with security. Transportation strategies this day: car, Uber, Lyft, bus. Thanks so much. Okay, so let me read that one more time. So on the departure day, they're going to the Magic Kingdom. They're going to rope drop anything they didn't get to do at the party at the Boo Bash. Okay, so that's that. So, and then it says we'll be taking the car from Epcot over. So they have to leave the park around noon to head to the airport. So I guess they're going to have all their stuff in the car. And just, I don't know about the Uber Lyft kind of thing. Would you drive? So
no,
I guess what she's asking is, would you leave the car back at Animal Kingdom Lodge, bus to the Magic Kingdom, bus back to Animal Kingdom Lodge to grab your car to head to the airport? Or would you maybe use? Yeah, see, the thing is with Magic Kingdom, there's no good way to catch an Uber or Lyft. I would do a bus. I mean,
no.
I'd probably leave the car back at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
I would drive.
You would drive to the Magic Kingdom and just go straight from there?
Yes. Correct. Yes. Because I think that transportation-wise, it's going to take a lot longer to go to get back to the hotel than it would to, you know, just go to your car. That's what I would do. I would drive to the Magic Kingdom that last day.
Would you do that, Pam? Just have your car right there at the TTC so you can head right out after head to the airport?
I don't know, like, I'm wondering, you know, are you going to have things in your luggage that you wouldn't want sitting in the
Valid.
Trunk?
Valid.
You know, when it's whatever degrees hot.
Right. I did think about that too, yes.
That, I don't know. I really think too, again, for the reasons we talked about earlier, you still have to take transportation from the Magic Kingdom back to the TTC and then walk to your car. Although when you go in the morning, I mean, your car is going to be much closer because you, you know, you were there when a parking lot opens. I still think, literally, the ride from Magic Kingdom back to Animal Kingdom on the bus is not that long. So,
yeah,
I just feel like you'd have to leave the Magic Kingdom so much earlier to get back to.
No matter where you are.
Well, yeah, but I feel like you. I don't know. To me, it feels like you'd have to leave so much earlier to get back to the Animal Kingdom. Because you never know when the bus is going to come in the first place. I mean, I know Disney's pretty good about
especially around lunchtime, because there's not as many buses midday as there are, say, at park opening.
Exactly. So you may have to wait a while for your bus. That's why I said I would just park at the TTC and then go from there. Because I feel like the amount of time that you'd spend waiting for the bus and getting back to the Animal Kingdom is going to be way, way longer than it would to just take transportation and go back to the TTC, or to go back to the TTC to go back to your car. So,
but you'd have to get to Magic Kingdom earlier though, because by parking the car, you got to deal with the monorail of the ferry.
You're
just trading time up front for time later in the day. So,
I would rather have the time later, but that's just me.
It's a good point. All right. Well, hey, that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget today's episode, as always, brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Drop on by today. You got this newfangled browser. You might even have a tablet that's electronic and not just stone and a chisel. You just got to type in www. I remember you can tell ads are old when they say www or HTTP. Just type in themagicforless.com. It'll take you to a great landing page with lots of cool pictures and resort guides and all kinds of links to not only Walt Disney World, Disneyland information, Disney Cruise Line information. There's even Universal stuff on. You can check out all the great stuff that you wanted to know about to go on your next vacation. It gives you a great landing point. You can say, hey, everybody, come over and check out these pictures of the Riviera. Mike calls it the Riv, but it's actually called the Riviera. And it's got this big tower. It's got a Skyliner. It's got a killer breakfast sandwich down at Primo Piatto. And all of a sudden, you're like, we got to stay here. We're going in October. Let's do it. Once you're there, fill out the quote form, mention the show. You and I are planning it together. I tell you, have a good time. Tell me how the sandwich was and tell Buzz I said hello. All my guests know I always tell you that. Tell Buzz Mike said I'm coming soon. So anyway, drop by themagicforless.com. We'll plan that trip for you. No extra cost to you. And I promise you, we'll get you the best price possible and have a great time in that trip planning. Again, themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. One extra click means a lot to us. And thanks to our patrons for allowing us to put this stuff out all over the world 3 to 4 times a week. We love doing the show. We love getting to meet friends all around the world. And it's because of your support. And if you'd like a bonus show called Mike in the Midwest every week, just visit patreon.com/brguestpodcast. Follow Ricky on the social media at Ricky Nibs. Follow Pam at TMFLTPam. I'm at BRGuestMike, and of course, you can follow at BRGuestPod as well, Instagram and Twitter. And join us this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. It's called the BOGP Open Line, but a lot of us just call it you, me, and Scotty G. We take your calls. We talk Disney. We have a great time every Sunday night. Once Scott talks about his golf game for about 3 minutes, and then I promise you, we get to the Disney stuff. And I talk about college football for about 3 minutes, but then we get to the Disney stuff. It's very casual. We have a good time. So join us this Sunday night. But until we get together again on Friday, where we're talking French Quarter, Riverside, Port Orleans, the Sasagula River, this is my jam. I can't wait for Friday's show. Hope you can't either. We'll see you real soon. Well, I said that too soon for Pam and Ricky. I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Unfortunately, it's time to get back to work. But until we get together again, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.